We're not half of anything. Not our problem. Fuck the old firm. Hello and welcome to the Cynic Weekly. I'm your host as ever, Louis McCaffrey, and I'm joined by a beautiful panel, a very hairy panel, I must say, three bearded men. I'm going to start off with the man who's always here. It's Christopher Sarmani. How are you, Christopher?
Smashing, Louis. Just absolutely buzzing at that tweet.
Also joined by Christopher Tiberius Bowd.
Hello, hello. How are you doing, Louis? Glad to be here.
Oh, listen, all the better for seeing you about it. You know, we've had so many of these monumental podcasts, I think, you know, down the years, Bowd, in your very own house. I think it's going to be another one tonight, to be honest with you, but we'll see. And we're also joined, and I'm very happy he's back on the weekly because it's been a while. And usually you hear him on the lunch club and he's got to do his hosting duties, but tonight we can hear the real thoughts of Mr. Paul Carlin. How are you, Paul?
Hiya, Louis. Thanks for those lovely words. Great to be back on the People's Podcast, and what a week to come back as well.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm sure you've been really looking forward to it. obviously, we've got a lot to cover tonight. I think it's been a very difficult few days since the weekend. Me and Samani, obviously, we were on the reaction after the game. Obviously, drew 0-0 with Dundee United away, and me and you had to do the reaction with Ruth. And at the time, it was raw, and I was, to be honest, I was a bit stunned by everything. We've known for so long that the 10 was over, that it was just a formality, and you know, it was going to be official imminently. But again, it's us that stumble. It's us that hand it to them. You know, they didn't even play on the day that they were confirmed, you know, because we done it for them. And I'd love to know what everybody was feeling at the time and is feeling now. Personally, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It hit me in a way that I just didn't expect. You know, I've really struggled with it. And I know, like, I hope to God there is some, you know, Huns listening to this, because it'd be absolutely hilarious. But, you know, CFR, like, it's been tough, you know what I mean? But, I mean, what can you say? It's going to be tough. We care too much, you know? I've been no saying much about the house and stewing over it for the last few days and trying my best to actually watch English football just to try and take my mind off it but still be in the football world. It's been tough. So, Manny, how are you feeling now, and how did you feel at the time?
I said in the reaction we'd been built up to this, and it was that to an extent. I mean, it was death by a thousand cuts, really, because we knew it had been coming. That doesn't prepare you for the throngs taking to the streets and all that sort of stuff, and the fireworks that were going off and all that sort of stuff. That wasn't particularly nice to listen to. But I've been worse. I've had worse moments as a Celtic fan. You know, I mean, some people are putting this up there. I mean, Black Sunday, things like that. You know, see that the acute nature of that sort of stuff. That was worse. As much as it wasn't nice, and it hasn't been nice the last few days, some of the we had been prepared for how bad it was over the course of the season. I think as much as it hit us like a ton of bricks, I think it would have been worse if that had came out of the blue or if it had been close. So how am I feeling now? I just want this season done with now. I mean, for me, it you know, when they said that they were bringing the Scottish Cup back, I mean, that was just more depression piled onto things. You just want these games over with, so that we can kind of look to see what's going to happen next season. I'd said on the reaction that I'd like us to kind of start making moves, bring the headlines back to us in terms of talking about their new managerial setup or whatever. That's still is it for me. We just need to start talking about football in terms of us again. And although we're going to need to play the rest of this season out, see if we know what's happening next season, we know who's in charge, we can start to look forward, because right now you're just sitting there going, just end, so that we can kind of move on.
Howdy, what about yourself? How have you been coping?
Yeah, very similar to Sarmani, I think. I think it was a fitting end to this season. Going out with a whimper, which is pretty much what we've done all season. But aye, as you say, it was maybe dulled slightly by the fact, you know, it's been over. Been over since January. It's been over, you know, we've known it's been in danger a lot longer than that as well, but I don't think anyone had any doubts come January that the 10 was gone, if not before. So, yeah, still hurt, but I don't think it hurt quite as much as it could have. As Sir Manny says, it's now all about moving on. It's about taking the initiative. It's about making the right decisions, because this is huge, absolutely huge for us. It's a massive rebuild job. We could bounce back. We could sort this out. It could be a one-year blip, but it could also be a lot worse if we don't actually fucking do something about it. So aye, hurting. A lot of fireworks at my end as well. I'm next to Hampden, so obviously the SFE boys were all out celebrating. And aye, pish. Kind of, maybe, I was going to say good to see them embarrassing themselves, but being a public health risk isn't that good either. But aye, just, they can't even celebrate, right? Fucking idiots.
No, scum. Subhuman scum. Paul, it was the manner of it as well. As Bowd says there, it's like a fitting end to the season, but it's that for me made it a wee bit harder, the fact that we couldn't even take it past the Dundee United game.
No, I don't think I'm not going to say optimistic as Sir Manny and Bowd, but I'm kind of further down the emotional scale. Like, I'm kind of teetering between total despair and total fury at how this has panned out. And I can't stop ruminating on, like, just how it got to this point. And we all spotted the problems months and months and months ago. It's been talked about in every single Cynic podcast so far, but Sunday just really brought it all home. And yeah, I just could hardly speak to my partner, and we sat up until about 2 o'clock in the morning just talking about Celtic and talking about the scenes in George Square. And just that felt like a bit of a sort of watershed moment for Celtic, whereas the next decision that we make's got to be the right one. It's very, very important that we make the right appointment in terms of my next manager. But it's also just getting through these next, what, 7 league games and then the Scottish Cup. Well, no thanks. I get no interest in the Scottish Cup, mainly because I don't think we can win it. I really don't want to play Rangers twice as well, just because, remember what we used to do to them at this point in the season? We would just embarrass them. And those were truly glory days. And I've got a horrible feeling that we've got a couple of tankings coming our way quite soon.
The brutal thing about that as well is, obviously it would have been horrible if they'd went to Celtic Park and won it. But see now, doesn't it matter? We can smash them 5-0. Why would they care? It's done. It's over. It's just die. We should have been able to take it further.
There's no way we're beating them 5-0 either, Bowd, because see the way we played on Sunday, you know, the second half was just a team that was out of energy, out of ideas, out of drive. The players have given up, and whether or not, you know, Rangers actually finally winning the league now does maybe give them, maybe it takes some of the pressure off their shoulders. I just can't see a good end to this season from our perspective at all.
Yeah, I mean, the game at the weekend, not that we're really going to spend time talking about that, of course, but, you know, it was Kennedy's second game in charge, and, you know, I very much had the feeling after the game that, and I still do, that's it for John Kennedy, that's the interview over. You know, if you couldn't, he really couldn't afford to drop any points or lose any games, really, and I know we drew, but you know what I mean, that game was worse than a loss for you know what happened after it. It became a dire performance. Let's not kind of beat around the bush. I was optimistic with the first half, and I thought we're seeing something different, we're seeing a bit of progress. And after kind of reflecting on it, I think it just shows how far the standards have dropped and my expectations have dropped of what I want to see a Celtic team do. That I'm like watching it just hoping that we can like be cohesive for 45 minutes and being pleased with that. And it's tough. It's a tough reality to have to face. And One of the things I've been watching in the last couple of days was the Tottenham thing, the all or nothing behind the scenes thing with Mourinho's first season and all that. I'd never watched it, and I'm not actually sure what everybody's kind of take, whether it was kind of positively received or what, but I was just interested. I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I want to know so much about what the fuck has happened behind the scenes. I was so desperate to see something that was behind the scenes, just so that I could think, how does it compare, you know? But the main thing that I've not quite finished it, but the main thing that comes across is in every episode and every team talk that he gives before the game at halftime and everything, it's all about mentality. Like, and I know you're not seeing everything, but the mental side of the game at that level is everything. How he talks to them, how he picks them up. It's all psychological rather than anything else. And then I contrast that with where we're at just now. That team at the weekend, Somani, especially second half, and how they've been pretty much all season, the mentality is completely gone. There's no hunger or desire in those players at all, is there?
A lot of them look as if they'd rather be anywhere else than playing for us. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think the fitness is a real issue. I think, not even so much, Sunday is Sunday, the league was already done. But we've consistently talked this season about our inability to put together a 90-minute performance. Like, we've had patches where we may be good in the first half or good in the second half, or you'll get 20 minutes out of us where we've looked okay. I genuinely think that's down to our conditioning. Well, not completely, but a large part of it is down to that. You saw how, you know, fit we were under the previous manager. You saw Dyla come in and comment on the level of fitness in the squad when he took over from Lennon after his first spell. Now, I mean, I don't think it's too much of a conclusion to draw based on you see the way we kind of peter off at the end of games that we're not fit enough. And then the professionalism was called into question at the start of the season when you had Lee Griffiths eating a kebab after pre-season training. You know, back at that time, we were probably still saying, you know, confident of winning the league. You know, just there was almost, I wouldn't say there was an arrogance, but there was an expectation about it. But the warning signs were there. The warning signs have been there for most of the season in terms of, you know, how we've approached things. And for me, I think Sunday was a great example in it. I thought in the first half we played better. I thought some of the passing was sharper. One of the other issues that we've had this season is the lack of cutting edge, the lack of kind of being clinical in front of goal. I mean, that was really, really apparent. But then when we just, and it was like we fell off a cliff, it just looked like they were kind of blown out their arse. And then, you know, the desire certainly wasn't there. So I think Sunday, I think Bowd said it at the start, it kind of almost encapsulated the season. Small parts where you think, right, we're going to get going here. And then the inevitable where we don't. And we just peter out into nothing. So I think Sunday kind of highlighted in one nice package what we need to fix next season. It was shite and we kind of keep playing that way.
Oh, I'd kind of like to stick with the players for a minute, but I mean, how let down do you feel by the players? How much is this their responsibility? Because again, at the weekend, thinking back to the game and all that, they get away with murder at times, and they've got away with murder this whole season. They've no turned up.
No, there's only really for me one player in the whole team that's consistently performed this season, and that's Christopher Ayer. Sorry, Lou, I know you might not like that. But
oh no! Listen, I'm on the Ayer, whatever the fuck it is. Ayer,
the guys we've depended on, the guys we've gone to, who've dragged us through tricky points of seasons in previous years. Guys like, you know, Brown, Griffiths, McGregor, Christie, Edward. They've not played well at all this season. You know, we've seen flashes that Eddie's been quite good at times. Don't know what's happened to Ryan Christie. Scott Brown is just not up to it anymore. Callum McGregor for me is the biggest disappointment, because he's, you know, he's the man. He's our guy. He's our next captain. I love him. I love him as a player. I just love the way he plays the game. But his drop this season it's just been so drastic, and it feels a little bit like watching him when Dyla was the manager, in that he just made poor decisions and his drive wasn't the same, and maybe that's a confidence thing. But too many of the key players this season have just phoned it in, and whether or not it's the pressure of the 10 was just too much for them, maybe that's part of it. Maybe the pressure was just too much. And then add a previous manager who just didn't have any sort of tactical plan. Obviously, the senior management, there was stuff going on there. You know, Rangers, again, I don't want to keep giving Rangers credit, but, you know, you look at the way they play every game and the way they set up, and they know exactly what they've got to do. Celtic don't have that. But the players have let us down. The players are a big part of this. They're not the main blame for this season. But some of the key names have just not turned up when we really needed them most.
I think, see the point that you made about Callum McGregor, I mean, big important midfielders, you know, will drag teams through games. And Callum McGregor, the season was almost set for him. People will talk about Brown and being finished and things like that, but seeing his peak under the rat, McGregor was talked about being able to play in any team. You know, in Europe, he could go and play at the top level of the English Premier League. You know, he could go and play abroad and things like that. I'm not having that. For me, McGregor will be a great player in a great team, but I never thought he could be the main man for us. And I think he showed that this season. And I'm not really wanting to get on at individual players like Paul, because I think that the malaise and the issues at the top, and it came from down from there. But McGregor was supposed to be like a really, really important player for us. And maybe I'm being unfair, but he's a great player. He really is a great player, Callum McGregor. But you never seen him dragging us through games or anything like that this season, which great players generally do.
Don't forget, yeah, he's played. He's the guy who's played, 45 billion games over the past 3 years. Like, maybe he's just done. Maybe he's genuinely knackered. I don't know how much of a break he's been getting, but like, he's not played anywhere near his potential this season.
Aye. And I think we're right to call out players, but as kind of Sir Manny touched on there, when every player in the squad is playing worse than they were and aren't turning up and aren't performing, the problem's bigger than the players. It's above them. But aye. Just all across the pitch, people haven't been performing. And I think, as you say, when McGregor has dipped drastically, when you don't have Brown, centre-back pairing isn't really there either. As we said, is clearly Celtic's player of the season. There's nobody even in contention other than Ayer. But there's nobody else next to him. We've had Duffy underperforming. We've had Julien injured constantly. It's hard. And then even, I know we aren't going to talk a lot about the weekend's game, but even going back to that, you've then got Kennedy making these same strange decisions that we've seen all season, or more particularly this year. You know, Bain in goals, Elinoussi, who I think can be all right, but he's not a forward, he's not a striker. If you're going to play Elinoussi, play him in the left. It's keeping Brown on when Soro's there on the bench. There's just, aye. Who knows what's going on with that squad of players, but it's not happening. And I think the fitness point, again, is another great point from Sir Manny, which is even more apparent when you consider that that's normally our strength. We're normally the fittest team in the league. We're normally getting to 80, 85, 90 minutes and getting a goal and, you know, either consolidating a lead or taking a lead if we've had a tough game. Whereas this season, it's been the absolute opposite. We've fell off a cliff whenever you've got past 70 minutes. I say fell off a cliff. We've maybe started at the bottom of it in a lot of games as well. But yeah, fitness hasn't been there. Player motivation hasn't been there. The players haven't turned up. And the managers, well, coaches haven't told them what to do in the pitch. It's a shit show.
Yeah, it definitely is a shit show. And it's not, you can't just point to one single thing, and I'm certainly not trying to say it's all the players' fault, because that's obviously wrong, but I definitely think there's been a massive issue with commitment this season. I don't think there's many games where any player has really left it all out on the pitch, like given absolutely everything and came off that pitch absolutely knackered. very few times, and we've lacked leadership in the most crucial season when we needed it most. And the likes of Scott Brown, you know, it's not just about, I don't think anyway, I don't think it's just about, you know, how you can talk in a changing room. You have to have somebody that goes out and sets the standard for everybody else to achieve and get to. And we've not had that from the leaders. The only person that showed kind of leadership quality, that there's been a couple of occasions where Ayer has performed so well, and you do get that sense of him, even though he's a centre-half, trying to drag the team with him. But we've not really had it from anyone else. The exception of David Turnbull, but David Turnbull, I think, has played very well. But obviously, that's not his role in the team because of his stature in it. Bowd.
Do you think it's maybe, well, that's kind of, I suppose, what you're touching on, but do you think it's detracted from Scott Brown's ability to kind of lead these guys, the fact that he's just not performing? I mean, when you're looking at a guy who shouldn't be on the pitch or is your worst performer, is consistently one of the worst performers, and he's telling you to, you know, G up and do whatever, is it, are the players maybe switching off? Because, you know, how do you respect or how do you follow a leader who can't do it himself?
I wouldn't be surprised by that, Paul.
I think I agree with that. But then you hear players talk about Bruni and they love him, and you know, he's such a big personality there. But is that familiarity thing, and he's just been there too long? Like, we all wanted Brown to lift the trophy this season, right? But see if we weren't going for 10 in a row, would you have kept on a 35-year-old, 36-year-old midfielder who's definitely on the downturn? Probably not. And that's where this sense of like nostalgia has also screwed us this season. You know, sticking with Brown, sticking with Lennon, like, oh God, just...
Yeah, the Ireland captain and that'll fucking do them.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there you go. Just awful decisions being made out of... emotional decisions rather than sensible decisions. You know, like, not really, I know Celtic's a business, right? But these decisions were all made from the heart rather than from the head. And these are the things that have cost us so much this season. It's the performances by guys like Brown. It's the terrible decision making by the manager. It's cut, like Sir Manny says, from the top down. It's, well, the word shit show came up earlier, and that's exactly what it is.
See, the thing is, though, and we've seen it a million times, we've seen it before, after Martin O'Neill took over, we've seen it after Rodgers took over, players who you had written off, players who you said they should never play for the club again, their performances were so poor that you just forgot about them, coming to the fore and performing wonderfully under another manager. So I've said it consistently. Yes, you can criticise the players, but you always come back to the one thing. It's the manager. It's the manager. So you're given... did he take a proportion of the blame? Of course they do. Of course they do. But see, he just throw them under the bus and the assumption that they're not going to...
unless it's Callum McGregor.
I was just about to say, Callum McGregor could be an unbelievably important player for us next season under a new manager. You know what I mean? The fact of the matter is, this season, he hasn't shown in the way that people would have expected them to, because people had them up on a pedestal. But we know what Callum McGregor can do. If we get a better coach and a better managerial team in next season, there's every chance McGregor can bring back his form under the previous manager. So this is why we come back to the conclusion over and over and over again. We'll need to give the Blairs some of the blame here. But then you come back. But you know what? They were playing under that for so long. And that's the crux of it.
Yeah, but I mean, see, on the Brown point, Paul, as you said, I mean, we have debated Scott Brown's role in this team for the last God knows how many years, 4 years, something like that. I remember being in Gal's, not even last flat, but the flat before, when I said, you know, get him to Australia any means necessary, and everybody laughed and all that sort of thing. But the point was, everybody had moments where they wanted them out and then they wanted them in, but we've been yo-yoing and trying to decide, and 1 minute he's in, 1 minute he's out. That one player who really is so pivotal because he is the captain, if you place a lot of importance on the role of a captain, then, you know, that should never have been the case. It should have been more clear cut. And I think you make a good point, Paul. We ruled with the heart probably a bit more than the head far too many times, especially in relation to him and Lennon, obviously. But Sir Manny, as you're saying there, like, I know hindsight's 2020 and all that, right? And what we know now about the players, you know, can we judge? Because see, if I look at that team, right? See, if you look at the team that started at the weekend, you look at some of the players in that squad. My thoughts right now are the quality in there is shit. The quality is not there. And like, it's really not. See, when you've got the likes of Bain, Kenny, Welsh, Laxalt even, you know, Scott Brown, Christie, Elianussi, you know, the list could go on. Lee Griffiths, Klamala, Tom Rogic of 2021. I mean, all of these players, that they are not of the required quality that we need to progress as a football club. Or is it the case of what you're saying is, you can't really judge any of them because of who they've been playing under? How do we gauge where the, what the quality is of this squad anymore?
We do it next season. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. See, between now and the end, see this whole thing about they're auditioning for next season. They're not. And see, when it comes to being a Celtic fan or any football fan, you're going to be really, really fickle. And some of these guys could be heroes for us next season. You know, some of them will go. Some of them will have to go. That's what happens. There'll be other players that will come in, and hopefully there'll be important players that come in. But see, some of the guys, Stuart Armstrong's the one that comes to my mind so many times. When he signed him under Dyla, Stuart Armstrong looked inept at times on the football park. His inability to hold on to the ball, keep possession, was really, really poor. I remember he came on against Rangers when we beat them 5-1. Remember those days? And the Moussa hat-trick. He came on at 4-1. And he hadn't really played. And I think that was September or October. I can't really remember. But he came on and I was like, oh, no. You know, we might cede some possession here. And, you know, he came on and he scored. And then he just went from strength to strength from there. So there's guys who are there who are villains to us just now, but will potentially be heroes next season. And, you know, we're that fickle that we'll no care if they turn it in next season.
Is there many of those names, though, that you want to be there, Paul? I mean, honestly, because we keep talking about how there's going to be a massive turnover and of squad and changes made. We can't start next season with those players that I've just named. I mean, we have to make decisions on players.
I think Sir Manny's right in the sense that there are players in there that will have a better season next year, without a doubt. McGregor, if Christie stays, see Christie under a good coach, if they can just coach all those bad habits out of him. Christie's a good player, right? I know we all can't stand him sometimes in those bloody long range shots, but there is a player in there, and he can get back to where he was two seasons ago. But then guys like Brown, Rogic, Griffiths, Beaton, there's not a future for them. But it's how many of them can you let go without starting the season with like seven first team players? Because that's kind of what we're looking at. I think a guy like Nir Beaton is probably worth keeping for another season. I don't really want to see. I think this is a good time for Brown to retire or leave Celtic, and he's still got a chance to preserve his legacy. I think in a few years' time, like when we're doing podcasts looking back, Brown will be remembered fondly, right? I think Lennon's legacy's toast, but I think Brown can still salvage something from his. Griffiths, I think, I just can't see any point in keeping a guy like Lee Griffiths on the books anymore. Klamala, is Klamala good? I don't really see it myself. And then think about guys like, what's going to happen with Olivier Ncham? You know, he's kind of not having a good time at Marseille. Bully balling goalie, is he going to come back? Would you have Bully back? See, this stage, I would
I'd take Bully back before I'd take Ncham back. Fucking Ncham. I absolutely revel in the fact that his team get pumped off at absolute minnows at the weekend and he get taken off at half time. Fucking Ncham. Sorry, Bowie.
Well, you're saying that, but I think we're in the position where Bolly and Ncham we might need to keep, because I think there's 11 signings that we need to make, and that's mental. That's absolutely mental. But we need a goalkeeper. I think we can agree Ayer's likely gone, so for me that means you'll need at least two centre-backs. We need two right-backs. We need a left-back unless you keep Bolly. We need a defensive midfielder to back up Soro, because we don't want to get in the same position we were with Brown. We need another central midfielder if we're losing Christie potentially, maybe in Cham, Brown's gone. You've then got a right winger you need. We've got James Forrest. Is he going to be fit for all of next season? Somebody on the left and at least one striker. That's a full team that we need to buy to supplement this squad.
I think what you've just said there is Scott Brown staying.
Yep.
No, he is. Don't want to go out on a low, want to commit, want to go out on a high. Scott Brown will sign another year's deal. And I have touched on this. See if he's not a starter. See, for continuity's sake, if he's part of the squad, that's maybe not the worst idea. But my faith...
Go on $38,000 a week, though.
No, not on the same money. But in terms of my faith in the club not starting him maybe isn't there. But I think what you're saying there is there's an assumption it's a good time for Scott Brown to go. Scott Brown probably won't want to go based on what's happened this season. And yeah, the turnover is massive, so I think there's a chance he'll sign another year.
He's 36 in June, so there's a good chance he'll just physically not want to carry on.
But I don't think he'll say that. I don't think he'll say so, Bowd. I think he's the type of personality that just wants to play. Just wants to keep going.
Maybe you guys... It shouldn't be his decision. It shouldn't fucking be his decision, or should it, really?
It shouldn't. But again, Paul, you're maybe just in better shape than me. My body's broken now. My body's done. I don't want to do really anything. So I know Scott Brown's a bit more of an athlete, but he might just get to that point. 36 might be the point where he says... Nah. Cup of tea, the couch, that's all I want.
Tell you what, Brown is the cynic of the week, 2 weeks running, Bowd, so you've got that over him as well, man.
Amazing. Yep. Gal and Claire for getting to change it.
Superb. Where I was going to go with this was, yeah, there was a podcast out today, I think it came out today, if you're not subscribed to the cynic.co, you should. There's lots of content going up each day. And it's a really, I mean, it's not often I say this, but it is really an excellent podcast that Christian's done with Graham and Rory and our special guest, John McKenzie, who is a Leeds fan. Obviously, he writes about Leeds tactics and all that sort of thing, and obviously they've got Bielsa, so he's got plenty of stuff to talk about. But it's a fascinating listen, and if you haven't subscribed, it's well worth doing it and listening to the podcast. But one of the big things that they talk about, obviously, is how Bielsa gets he has such an ingrained system and a system that really doesn't require the highest level of talent. It just needs the highest level of commitment to the system that he puts in place. And he gets, he gets results that are greater than the sum of its parts. It kind of puts, listening to it today and trying to put it into a Celtic context, as everything that we're saying there about, I'm saying that the quality is just not there. Maybe if you've got the right manager with the right system and the right tactical nous and a plan in place, that you can get more from players the likes of Klamala and all that, they're still progressing in their careers. They're not at the top level. How likely is it that we go out and buy 11 top level players? It's impossible. It's not going to happen. But some money, I suppose, it harps back to the need to get someone in with a bit more, a bit more thought and a bit more kind of detail in their methods and everything else, so that we're not in this position again. Because ultimately, as you say, going with Neil Lennon, someone who took his steps back instead of forward, is the major thing that's cost us.
Yeah, I think, and again, we're repeating some of the things I've said recently, but I'd said it was more important to get it right than to do it quickly. Well, obviously the events in the last few days have kind of wanted me to have that sped up. But I definitely, I'd be prepared to wait if I knew that we were going to get the right candidate, or at least the appearance of the right candidate, And some people will differ, but see the likes, somebody like, the whole Maresca thing's been put out there. I wouldn't be against that sort of appointment, because it's a wee bit more progressive, shall we say, than some of the usual Celtic men names or things like that out there. And it would kind of, it would signal an intent, because you would be going for a young manager like that on the basis of what he's done at Man City and the style of football they play and the fact that he's obviously working with probably the best manager in the world. And you would have an eye on that different sort of structure that we've been talking about. So I do think it's important that we kind of get that sort of appointment. Might not appease everybody, but see if that was what was announced tomorrow or whatever, I would go, so be it, and I'd be quite excited about it.
I would take Maresca. You know, like Italian, tick. Hipster, tick. Man City influence, tick. I think it's that weird thing where my thinking at the moment is stuck between two posts, one of which is win the league next season at all costs, and the second one is no, get a manager in that will win, might not win the league this season coming, but win the next three or four after it, and get Celtic playing in a style that gets us excited again and makes us feel proud to be Celtic supporters, because this season has not happened. It does feel a wee bit like Maresca does feel a wee bit of a sort of, not, I don't want to say Dyla-esque signing, but I'm not totally convinced that he's got the experience as a manager yet that we kind of need in this division.
It's a bit too Strathbungo, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's just a bit. Well, in I your face, hipster, that's, I mean, where
Gal likes it.
Aye.
But I think Maresca is where you want a director of football or somebody coming in above him to help with that fact that he doesn't quite have the experience.
I'm hearing John Barnes there. Is that what the last thing?
Yep, that's what we're after.
But we've spoke about the director of football and how important that's going to be, obviously, going forward. I was asking Martin a couple of questions today in the WhatsApp group, because I've again partly watching the Tottenham thing, you see Daniel Levy very much a part of things, and you know, obviously I kind of know that he's, I've always kind of assumed that he is like the Peter Lowe of Tottenham, but I also know I looked up and he was the chairman, so I was a bit confused about kind of what the roles are and all that sort of stuff.
Did he just want on the telly, Louis? Was he maybe doing stuff he doesn't normally do, just popping his head in, waving?
He seemed to be on it a lot, to be honest with you. But I just wonder about the whole, you know, the makeup of the board and directors and what directors do and non-executive directors and all that sort of thing. And the Celtic website, which is the only kind of modern, you know, up-to-date thing about Celtic Football Club at this point, other than the surroundings of the stadium maybe, but the website's top-notch. But the bit about the board members on there, where it lists all the board members, obviously they're listed and it kind of tells you a bit about them, but the only two kind of directors that seem to be doing things every day and aren't in a non-executive director role is Peter Lowe and the finance director, who I'm sure somebody might know his name, his second name, is that not Mackay as well? But it just struck me as that normal. And I know a director of football, possibly something different, I don't know if a director of football is actually a full director, as in board member or whatever, but it just, again, strikes me as if it's a small-time outfit running a big time club, or what we hope to be a big time club, if that makes sense to anyone. I just hope we can build on it and change and evolve and diversify at the top, because I still have this fear that even if we get a director of football in, that if we don't change the very, very top of the club in terms of the kind of corporate side of it and all that sort of thing, and Bankier, I mean, I want him to fuck. I really don't like that ratty man. Like, I want change there. Is there anybody else that worries that if we don't change at that level a wee bit more, that we're going to have the same issues down the road?
The club has to modernise. It's like modernise or die, basically. And you're right, Celtic does feel like, from, like, just from what we see, and we see the club being run, it does feel a wee bit small time at times and quite old fashioned, and this is how we do it and this is how it's always been. I mean, I think we've got to have a bit of optimism that, that Dominic Mackay coming in is going to change the way the club is run and is going to address the exact type of things you're talking about, Louis. Drag Celtic into being a more modern business. And if that means changing the people at the very top, then so be it. I mean, I feel like any club should sort of be run by fans of the club, you know? Not, you know, not to get into a real Celtic men conversation, but if you're on
the board, care about it.
What's that?
People who care about it, ultimately.
Yeah, yeah, rather than it just being a kind of a title or a, I don't know. But modernisation is, for me, the absolute priority. Well, get a decent manager, all that sort of stuff. But in terms of like the kind of long-term plans for Dom Mackay coming in, I think it needs to be just make his, you know, you're watching Spurs, like you're watching that Spurs programme. See the setup they've got? It's awesome. Like the whole thing, the way the club's run, I was dead impressed with that. I really enjoyed it. And then you watch the Dortmund one from a couple of years ago and the Man City one. Celtic has a fan base big enough, it has a fan base that deserves to for the club to be run in that style. Professional, forward thinking, progressive. Now's the time to do it. I mean, it really is the perfect time to do it.
It can be done. I mean, look at that website, Louis. It was a fucking shambles a couple of years ago.
Fucking was, man. I mean, it's beautiful, to be fair. Listen, let's try and put into context a wee bit about, you know, 10 in a row. I mean, it's been kind of all-consuming for the club and us as fans for a long time, obviously, by the nature of it. But, you know, we've lost out on achieving this milestone. I can't really be bothered with a whole, you know, you shouldn't have been too excited for 10 in a row chat, or, you know, people try to downplay the desire for that achievement. Everybody wanted that. Everybody was desperate for it. And it only built, you know, year upon year. But, you know, we've lost out to a team that, you know, died, and there's a lot of rewriting of history going on just now in the press and things like that, and their fan base and things. You know, they died, they've came back, they've been in the doldrums, they've been in hedges, they've been all over the place embarrassing themselves. They've managed to get themselves to a level of competency over a couple of years, and that's been enough to defeat us and stop us in our tracks and have us, whether people like this or not, chasing them again. I read that, you know, that I can't even remember the guy's name. The guy that was coming out with all sorts, was it last season? The Athletic writer for Rangers had a big big piece out about, you know, kind of inside the Jordan Campbell, that's right, inside the dressing room and all this kind of inside Rangers as they went to win the title and all that sort of stuff. I put myself through it and read it. See a lot of it though. This shite is only stuff that comes up and is heralded when you win something. You know what I mean? Changing the canteen into round tables so that people could sit together and all this kind of buffed curd pish or the rat type stuff. But I don't even know where I'm going with this now, Sir Manny. It's just, it's fucking shitty. It puts it into perspective, though, how much we have failed to capitalise on the years of utter dominance.
Puts it into perspective that you're Neil Lennon. See, honestly, I'm glad you don't manage to. That's your birthday care pish. Help me go, lads. Here's the brown sauce, the tomato sauce. Get a frying pan out. That would have been you. Thank fuck you're no in charge of me, man. That's all I'm saying. However, back to your point, I do believe that you're right. I mean, this is only going to be lauded if there's success attached to it. But for me, I think people will talk about us head-to-head with him. Now, the first game at Celtic Park was a frightening disgrace, an absolute disgrace. That's the worst performance that I've ever seen Celtic against them, ever, even in the doldrums in the 90s. The second one wasn't a great performance, right? But in the first half, we pushed them back. You know, I don't think we made many clear-cut opportunities, but we went toe-to-toe with them at Ibrox. And, you know, the idea that on a one-on-one game against them, if we are playing well, that we can't compete with them, I still think isn't true, generally speaking. I think what you need to do if you manage either us or them is you need to build a side
that can take care of all the other 10 teams in the league with relative ease. And this season, we had a team that was incapable of doing that. And it became it basically became irrelevant what we did against them. Because what we got is, we got them, they did it at the start of last season as well, if you remember. So this the warning signs were there last season and up till Christmas. And then as we kept on at them and our run got good, they kind of fell by the wayside against a lot of these teams. Hearts, they did it against them twice, if I remember correctly. But this season, when we weren't doing that, it took the pressure off them. And that's the way it was for me. You know, all they could have put all that stuff into place and all that, but the main thing that won them the league this season was the lack of pressure. And because we had a side that couldn't take care of the majority of the league, which we did last season. And that's the crux of it for me. All that stuff, you're right, Louis, it is. You only laud that, and it's all birthday care pish unless it delivers a bit of success. But the crux of the matter is, it was us that took the pressure off them. This is a team whose captain wrote in a pre-match programme last season that they can't cope with pressure. So what's the one thing that we do? We put absolutely zero pressure on them, and that's the unforgivable thing for me.
How come they're sitting at circle tables? Surely they should be socially distanced. I want a fucking investigation here, Louis.
Nothing will happen, buddy. Nothing will happen.
Aye.
Although seems to be a bit of a momentum building that the game against them on the 21st is in the balance due to Rangers fans' lockdown breaches. So something might happen, Bud. You know, yeah. Like while the iron's hot, get on the old blower, tell them about those round tables.
Listen, I think everybody would be overjoyed if that game got cancelled, but we'll get to that because we're going to talk about that shortly. But, you know, Dave King, who is a bit of a caricature and joke figure of himself, he was saying how we were arrogant and thought the team was in the bag at the start of the season.
I must say, we can't carry Scotland in Europe. We contributed more points to the coefficient than you, clown.
Aye, somebody made a good point. They haven't beat anybody from a top five league. You know, things like that, it does. There's plenty of holes in what he's saying. He's just a fud preaching to the converted, of course. But I don't think he's right on the arrogance point. I think as a club, I think we went into this season with arrogance and to a certain degree, you know, Paul mentioned earlier on, we thought we could just kind of keep bundling along and we would get there. And that's just not the mentality that Celtic Football Club should have in anything. But Paul, do you think the end of 10 in a row and the quest for 10 in a row, do you think that will help the club progress ultimately because we can just get rid of all that nonsense now?
All it does is it gives us a reset button, you know, that's what this is now. It's time to reset. I still can't express my absolute just dismay at how this has ended, because 10 in a row should have been a formality. You know, we've had years to prepare for this, and it should have been a formality. And that's not me being arrogant at all. What happened to Rangers? You know, when Rangers died, what, 2012? How many years? You've had so long to prepare for this, and so long to build for this, and become a club that is based just on absolute excellence, and we've thrown it away. I am still absolutely devastated about it. So it's like kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. The way I feel today is, aye, just do it. Just start again. Burn it down. Start again. 10 in a row, man. Like, when we think about, see when we do podcasts talking about how Rangers reacted in their season and they just couldn't do it. It's history repeating in a way. I've got to stop talking about Rangers in this podcast. We'll never get us back on. but they couldn't do it. We couldn't do it, but we should have been able to do it because we were in a position of being so far ahead of them. Oh, yeah. Reset, Louis. Reset the whole thing.
Just don't mention round tables, Paul, you're fine.
I'm all for starting the 10 in a row chat again next season.
I think both 10 in a row, if you're, you know, both failed attempts at 10 in a row, well, three, because we've done 9 twice, which we might appreciate, but just not today. Yeah. They were so far ahead, ridiculously far ahead of us in terms of the money that they were spending and failed to do it. And we've also, you know, we've done that the exact same this time. And I think, I don't know, I mean, ultimately the desire to stop it was maybe stronger on either side or whatever, and it was lackadaisical, taking the eye off the ball. One thing I will say, though, is see the next thing that people are going to start talking about is, you know, what we're on, what, 51 titles? They're on one, but they're pretending they're on 55. See if it then starts becoming, you know, a race.
Plus to 60.
I mean, the reason why is, my thinking behind this is, see if you aim higher than being 1 point ahead of them, if you aim higher, if you aim to be the best club you possibly can, you should take care of them in the process of doing that. So if you're looking at them, you should be looking past them. And if you continue to look past them, then they'll be swept up in the way it is for me. So that's what I would like us to do as a club. Don't get dragged down into this internal stuff again, because it was a millstone round our neck. You know, we've touched on it, you know, we previously talking about it. It was almost like, I can't remember who I said this to, but the last time when we won 8 in a row, we were in the stadium. I think it was Hearts we played in the last game. Everybody, see, before they'd completed the lap of the pitch, everybody was out. Everybody was out of the stadium because, you know what, it wasn't us winning 8 in a row. It was another step towards the 10. And we lost sight of winning all these trophies and things like that. See, for me, we should properly appreciate them and stop counting forward. We should just appreciate them for what they are, because I think this has contributed to just... it was almost like it was just a building block as opposed to something that we genuinely should have celebrated for me at times.
Yeah, and I think 10 in a row was very much a Glasgow thing. You know, it was very much us against them. You know, I was listening to a podcast earlier on that was talking about European football in general, and, you know, they touched on Juventus. You know, Juventus are on 9 in a row, but it wasn't Juventus are on 9 in a row, they're maybe gonna, it looks like they're gonna lose out to Inter Milan this season. That, you know, the idea of 9 in a row or 10 in a row was never mentioned, because it's just not a thing anywhere else. The podcast I mentioned earlier on, that Christian has got out, The Cynical Outlook, it's called, I don't even know if I mentioned the name earlier, but you know that John McKenzie that was on it, from obviously he's a talking from a Leeds perspective, not a Celtic fan, and he, you know, he made a remark about, you know, you guys have won the league for a number of years. It wasn't you guys are doing trying to do 10 in a row. It was just you've won it a bunch of times. Again, it just kind of puts it into perspective that this was all something that's been created for us two clubs to butt heads over the years. And as somebody says, we have to get away from that type of thing, because ultimately we have to set our ambitions kind of higher than that. But before we kind of come to the game, potentially the game with them on the 21st, Paul, you made a point earlier which I wanted to touch on about next season and what your main priority is for next season, and saying that you're flipping between things. What is everybody's main priority for next season? Paul, if you want to go first.
I'll tell you what, I want to win the league, right? I want to get the league back for Rangers, because this year's, I mean, this one really hurts. It hurts for so many reasons. It hurts because it was the 10. It hurts because it's just seeing those players, and it's guys like Tavernier and Kent and just these no-marks, man. I don't like them. And just what we saw in George Square this week really, really upset me as well, on many levels. So I would like to get that trophy back. But I want us to stop thinking in short term as well. So I want winning the league to be a formality. And again, this might sound arrogant, I don't really care. The league. If I had to pick between the league and kind of building a long-term plan, I'd want the league back next season.
There
you
go. Paul's not
learned anything. but of course, yeah, win the league. I want to see Celtic fans destroying memorial benches next year. Not, no, wait, no, I don't want that. I just want to see that sweeping change that you talked about. Really, it's all about building for the future for me, and that's restructuring the whole club from top to bottom.
So, Manny,
want both. I don't think they need to be mutually, you know, I don't think it's either got to be one or the other. And to be perfectly honest, there is a bit of more importance on the league next season because you get direct Champions League qualification next season.
That's a good point. So, aye, fuck it. Throw it all at the league.
So get Strachan in. Just a safe pair of hands to tick his over the line. No, I do think that is there. I mean, like, it would be remiss to just pretend that we don't want to win the league. We're all about getting a new structure in. But there's a way and mean of doing that. And that means don't go down that stupid route where you get somebody like Strachan or whatever, or you get a proper setup in and give it a go. Because there's so many reasons why we're not going to be as bad and they're going to be nowhere near as good as they have been this season. Because the Rats' first season, I mean, an invincible treble. And it was downhill from there because you can only go downhill. So they'll not be as good. We'll be better. I don't think the gap is if the gap between us and them wasn't insurmountable, the gap between, you know, the other way around is exactly the same. So is get something in with a bit that's a bit different, a bit more progressive, look into the future, and I still think we can win the league next season.
Yeah, I was listening to the agenda on Monday, and it was interesting. Obviously, just different takes, and you know, I think Alan, who I'm sure, obviously, like everybody, wants to win the league, but he was saying that his initial thought was not of
Alan.
Well, you said it, Bud. He was mentioning the fact that, you know, his immediate thought wasn't, I'm desperate to win the league next season, and maybe that is just trying to take that longer approach to things. I think from a footballing, the number one footballing objective next year has to be to get the league back. From the football team's point of view, that's got to be what it is. But what we need to see is that the club have put in a structure for the long term. So as you say, Samani, you're doing both things, but different levels of the club have their own goals to achieve, but the footballing one has to be to get that trophy back. I can't fucking stand seeing them celebrate, see all the flares and all that bullshit, fireworks going off. I mean, who paid a hound, man? Launched into good space point. Like that. I mean, you know, I was so angry that I've struggled with it, and I just never want to see it again. And do you know what? I really fucking hope Neil Lennon was watching all that shite. See if he just buried his head in the sand like he's done all season and never even looked at social media or anything in the telly or anything like that. Fuck him. Because this is all his fucking fault. But anyway, let's not go there. If the game takes place, which it might not, because of, you know, the wee angry woman, Nicola Sturgeon, might decide to cancel it, which...
Well, it's not really her fault.
It's not her fault. It's not her fault.
It's
but,
the actions of the Rangers fans and Rangers Football Club.
We're not half a Eton, Bowd. We're not half a Eton.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But we're playing them.
Aye. If it goes ahead, Somani, what is the best that we can hope for, and what do we have to do to get it?
A win. I mean, I'm still not... I mean, I heard all this before, that we were going to be absolutely destroyed at New Year, and, you know, I don't think we were very good, but we weren't destroyed.
I think it's fair. I don't want to sound like a Lennon apologist, but we were the better team up until the sending off. We weren't great by any manner of means, but we were the better team out of the two.
Well, and Neil Francis Lennon, your trust, Bowdy?
Aye, get him back in. Make him director of football. There you go. Happy medium.
We were completely without cutting edge that day, but, I mean, I don't subscribe to... I mean, okay. I don't subscribe to the idea that we were going to get absolutely slaughtered by them or anything like that, you know? It's possible, but I think it's possible to win, and I think we should still be looking to go out there and try and beat them, because, to be perfectly honest, they're done. The league's done. You know, just go out and try and do it. I mean, I'm sounding like I don't care, because I don't care about the game and it's going to be cancelled anyway, but no way should we be going in there thinking damage limitation. Every time we play them, even this season, we should be going to try and beat them.
Absolutely got to win, but it's the mental fragility of the team that I just think they'll crumble. If they don't start well, or they're pressed and harried, or they get an early goal, they'll fucking collapse, Bowd.
Do James Forrest on the right, Mikey Johnson on the left, if he's fit. There you go. Boom. We're back with a bang.
Two players have contributed so much this season, brilliant.
So on you go, Paul.
No, I want to believe Sormani and I want to feel the way Sormani does, but I just think looking at the players the past couple of games, they've just got nothing left in the tank. And I know that a game against your rivals should be enough to get your motivation up, but I think they just look spent emotionally and physically. But then it would be so like us to win the two games if they go ahead, to win the last two games against them with nothing at stake. It would be so Celtic for that to happen. So that probably will then. Probably will happen.
There's nothing to be celebrated, but ultimately I would quite like to take away their undefeated. Give them a wee black eye. As well as Sormani says, every time we play Rangers, we should play to pump.
Play to pump. Wow. Listen, I basically just want to take bodies. I just want to take legs, break them. That's the best I can hope for.
You think you're getting 10 to 15 million for Morelos, do you? Yeah, that way, two broken legs.
See if that's the last thing that Scott Brown does in a Celtic top, is just break his legs. I'd be happy with that. We did seem to...
The cynic does not condone violence.
Condone, brilliant.
Yep.
We seem to have grown a bit of a backbone tonight, which obviously opened with, and I've mentioned. Celtic put out a tweet right before we came on air, which is absolutely delicious because, you know, a lot of we've had podcasts ruined recently. The tweet read, Celtic Football Club's statement, we're not half of anything. Eye roll emoji, not our problem. And then the bit was a bit like, hashtag one club since 1888. So, Manny, what did you make of that? Do you think, I think most of the reaction has been fucking yes, you've grown a set, but you're so Manny, you've made a career out of being pretty negative. Do you think it's just like fucking too little too late, shut the fuck up?
It's fine. I mean, I'm not celebrating it as a great victory. I mean, they've made a point. They've made the point that everything that's been on in the last few days has literally got nothing to do with us. No, well that's not true. We allowed it by being shite on Sunday, but in terms of the actions and what happened in the COVID breaches, they made their point. And I'm glad they did, because it has to be said, you know. And I mean, we're talking back, I mean, cash your mind back to August, you know, the pubs were open, it was sunny, Paul and Golly nipped over to Spain for a day, and look what happened. And the Aberdeen players as well, who'd went to the Boozles and the games that get cancelled and postponed and things like that. And then you see what's happened since then. Now, based on the fact that the game might not be going ahead, I think they'll probably try and link that to the players, you know, seeing their supporters 3 days later, though, or whatever it is. You know, it's basically, I think they're going to bow to public pressure as opposed to doing what they did to us without a second thought earlier in the season. So I'm glad the club came out and said that because, quite frankly, this, you know, tarring with the same brush, pish, just doesn't it wash.
Bowed, love it.
Fantastic. And it's the pinned tweet at this point, so aye. I don't know, though, it does kind of give me the feel that we're wandering into their territory where they would just say statements, tweet shit that was just absolute fucking nonsense, but what the Staunch Brigade wanted to hear. Are they just going with what all his Tims want to hear, even though it's absolutely accurate and correct? But
I worry a wee bit about that too. I mean, did I enjoy it? Aye, gave us a good laugh before we came on air. But this is what Rangers have been doing for years. And although I don't think it's quite as funny as the line in Donald Park. Who's the Rangers chairman? Donald Park.
Douglas Park.
Douglas Park. Aye, who's Donald Park? Don't know. Some actor. Saying something like Rangers winning the league this season is one of the greatest sporting achievements of all time.
What?
Now that is a laugh, right? I mean, this tweet was great, but that line in that Rangers statement was a total hoot. When I first saw this tweet, I was like, oh, somebody's getting sacked, somebody's been sacked, and that's like a kind of last day on the job thing. But no, still there.
I see winning our 55 titles or whatever, that's a great sporting achievement. Does that mean that every time Rangers now win a league, it's one of the greatest sporting achievements? That's our 57. That's 57. It's fucking nonsense. What's he talking about?
It's just going to get better and better, Bud.
You think they'll win two more titles, Bud? What an absolute hun.
Over the next century. Louis, that's what you forgot.
The constant mentioning of 55 has given me a wee bit of, you know, I must admit, I do enjoy that. They actually mentioned the 55th title in the statement they sent to the Scottish Government. It's almost, that annoys them. You know, see when you say, you know, you're a new club, your club died and you only get one in a row, they pretend it doesn't, but they wouldn't mention 55. That, I mean, it's like, that's it. Everything, they've not won the league, they've won the 55th league. And, you know, it's you know, all that stuff where they go 140 years of unbroken history and all that sort of stuff.
What?
You know, come on. They know and we know, and it upsets them even when they like to pretend it doesn't.
It's a wee shame. They fucked up.
We're going to finish with a couple of Twitter questions, if that's okay with you guys. So Chris Reed, at Chris Reed 92, he says, thoughts on the potential appointment of Maresca? Can we afford to go for an inexperienced manager, and will we see a flurry of City youngsters in on loan? Boud, can we go for an inexperienced manager? Is that something that you're worried about?
I think that it's always a slight concern, but as I said, I think there's an element of, do we then have a director of football above him, give him the support? I mean, if he can coach, he can coach. But having said that, just to jump all over the fence, the fact that it's such a huge rebuild job, is there's an element there. Although I suppose, you know, if he gets to bring a team together, mould it and make it his own, and maybe he's got less bullshit to deal with and less internal team politics if it is a full rebuild, maybe that works for us. It's the wrong panel, so this is Team Italy. We're all going to be pro Maresca.
Aye. I mean, sign me up, man. I'm like, all you've got to do is just wave an Italian flag in front of me and I'm, you know, sold, totally sold on it.
Big De Canio fan.
Oh, come on, Boud. Jesus Christ. I'm into it. He's not my first choice, but I'd say he's kind of maybe my third choice. And I'd be happy with that. And what matters to me is that someone comes in that can really inspire the players, like, quickly, and get respect from the players quickly, and ultimately teach them how he wants them to play. And I think he's the kind of guy that could do that. If he's coming from the Man City model is, you know, it's hugely successful and has been, so I got a good feeling about it. But at the moment, I'm maybe a wee bit more inclined to go with a guy like Eddie Howe, who I really like.
You imagine 11 and Chams all over the pitch, Lee?
Oh, think about that.
They don't let you down. My worry is that if you go inexperienced manager, inexperienced director of football, it could either be brilliant or it could be really awful. And I don't know. I'm in two minds about it. I think we need a bit more experience to implement the changes that we're going to make. But then the experienced kind of older managers who've been there, done it, there's not many of them that are going to excite the fans too much. But I mean, it's a gamble, isn't it? If we go with Enzo Maresca and even Fergal Sharkey, as Gal calls him, Fergal Harkin. I mean, if we go with them, it's a lot of inexperience in a very demanding club.
Yeah. But the pool of top-class managers that Celtic shop in, I mean, can you name a top-class Irish manager? Because that's who we've went for the last two times. And don't get me wrong, I mean, we totally pulled out with Martin O'Neill and again with Rodgers at the time. So, but we played on the Celtic connection for that. And if we were going to go for a manager of that calibre just now, we don't have that. And therefore, I don't think we could secure them. So then you drop down a rung. And I'm thinking there might be a level of short-termism to that. Whereas I think I said it on Sunday, somebody like Maresca, and it doesn't necessarily need to be Maresca, but
someday of that kind of model is, you know, high risk but high reward. You know, I mean, you could get a level of manager that you couldn't possibly go near if they'd already proven their Spurs up to that point. And I suppose that might be the sort of punt that we need to take, because if we're going for experience, the market and the pool's a lot shallower, and that's the problem we've got.
I
was just going to say, see if it's a Maresca type versus Gordon Strachan or something like that. Nah, you go with the youth every time.
The only thing I think, somebody like Maresca and a very inexperienced manager and young manager, if you like, you know, when the busk is over, it's going to reverse over them as well. You know what I mean? There is going to be no kind of easy, if this goes wrong, it's going to go badly wrong, and people are going to call it out for what it is. Next question, James Stevenson has said, with Lennon gone and Lowell following, what other changes would you like to see at the club besides a director of football and new CEO? What changes do you want to see Don McKay bring? I'll start us off. I would just like to see the kind of public kind of face inside of the club change.
That tweet tonight was a start. That's what we want, more of that.
Yeah, well, you know, things like that, and what's his face, that tip from Celtic TV, fucking Jeremy McCullough. Aye, get him to fuck. I don't want to have to listen to him on YouTube or anything like that, interviewing the new manager. See little things like that. I think that will help change the identity of the club. Just anything of that scale, or anything maybe further up in terms of the boardroom you'd like to see, Paul?
You want Jerry McCulloch sacked as well, Paul? Yes or no? Yes or no?
I know Jerry. Jerry's a nice guy. That's all I'm saying. I talked about it earlier. I want modernisation. I want the club to engage with fans more. I want the club to engage with us as a podcast. I want blimps. I want blimps, Louis. I want Celtic blimps flying over Glasgow. I want to go full, just like propaganda.
I want Bow driving that blimp. That's what I want.
I want to drive it, Lou. I want to drive it.
Do you drive or fly a blimp? I think you fly a blimp.
Whatever the fuck I want the blimp. All right.
R.I.P. that blimp. Aye, that's what I want. I want modernisation and blimps.
I agree with that. I think as well, on one of the Cynic chats, actually, there's a few of the boys that are abroad, and they raised a very good point, which I think we can all empathise with this season, is just stuff like the production quality on Celtic TV. I mean, we're moaning the fact we're paying a season ticket price to get this shitty streaming service, but these guys are paying, I think it's between 200 and 300 quid a year to get just something that's like amateur, or it's like Airdrie TV or something that's no... It's no right. Sorry, Audrey.
That guy that was in Hamilton that went for a shite at half-time, he might be available to do something. We could get him.
get him in the dugout. Somebody.
But I don't call for the sacking of Jerry McCulloch, actually. So, no.
Big Jerry fan, aye? Do you know him as well?
No, I don't, but I'm thinking... I don't think it'll make a difference. I'd much rather we sorted the manager out. And I'm not just full of bile and hatred like you are, Louis.
How do you think you get the top manager, Sir Manny? You think they're going to look at Celtic TV and see Jerry McCulloch and Pep Guardiola's going to come? No. That's why we can't get these big guys.
You've convinced me.
We need to sack Jerry McCulloch and get round tables in. Come on.
Yeah.
Bow, it could be you, man. Like, you've got the charisma to do it. You do?
No. Oh, I'm a bit sweary. You, on the other hand, Paul. Handsome, charismatic.
Oh, thanks very much. Thanks very much. Nah, I don't fancy it. I don't fancy it.
So, Manny, do you want to see it? And, you know, you just want to stay in now, didn't you? You're a bit of a Celtic team.
Aye. What was the question? What do I want to see?
Okay.
I've written. There we go. Apart from Jerry, I want him to keep his job because it'll annoy you.
Brilliant. Right, listen, I think that's us for the week. It was good to talk about things, get things off our chest, I think, in what has been a very difficult week. At least we don't have a Celtic game this week. The next game, might be one of the worst of the season if it even goes ahead. But you know,
it's one of the best, Louis. It's going to be one of the best.
No, it will not. Closing remarks, Christopher Bowd.
It's been a hard, long season, but it's done. So we can kind of can take a breath. We can move on and pump them in a fortnight's time.
Lovely. Paul, state your case.
I'm still sad and I'm not ready to move on yet. So sorry to end on a negative.
So Manny, sum it all up.
We are Celtic. We will be back.
Merry birthday, Kid Pish. Listen, this has been the Cynic Weekly and we will speak to you down the road.